engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before others will be denied before the angels of God. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When they take you before synagogues and before rulers and authorities, do not worry about how or what your defense will be or about what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that moment what you should say. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. These readings speak to us of courage, standing with Christ because of the greatness of his promise and what he has accomplished in our lives spiritually by his death and resurrection and making us part of his body, the church. This makes us strong to stand before the world and bring that beautiful invitation to others, an invitation which will be rejected by many, and therefore we will be opposed. The strength of Christ and his Spirit within us to bear witness unashamedly to the Father, to the Son, in the Holy Spirit. This is what these readings speak of, and this is something exemplified in the life of this early bishop who died only in the year 107. Ignatius of Antioch, the one who first used the term Catholic Church, the one who wrote various letters talking to us about the role of the bishop, the structure of the church, the authority of the church. He's a key figure in early Christianity, and he is a martyr, which is why we wear red, signifying the shedding of blood. He went so willingly to martyrdom. He saw his death as a victory. He saw it as part of the spiritual offering, the spiritual sacrifice that God requires of his people, the way to holiness, the way to transformation. His writings are incredible as he talks about giving his own life for to be ground like the wheat into the bread of Christ, his life for the kingdom. This is what Jesus is talking about in this gospel. Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me before the world. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It reminds me of the saying that there's no such thing as secret discipleship. Either the discipleship will destroy the secrecy, or the secrecy will destroy the discipleship. We can't be hidden Christians. We can't be secret Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We profess it loudly. We profess it proudly. As was said of Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who's now in the final phase of the, or you might say next to the last phase of the her confirmation to the Supreme Court, when some of the Democrat senators had a problem the last time she was confirmed, and people on the left still have a problem, with the fact that she's a practicing Catholic, one of those senators said, well, it seems that the dogma lives loudly within you. All that means is she's fulfilling this gospel passage. Don't be afraid to acknowledge me before others. Let it be clear to them that Christ lives loudly within you. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord also says something here that we often wonder about the meaning of, and I just want to dwell on that for a few moments with you. He says, there is such a thing as a sin against the Holy Spirit that will not be forgiven. Now, God is infinitely merciful. There is no question about that. He's infinitely merciful. In fact, I, in my pro-life work, serve as the director of Rachel's Vineyard, the largest ministry in the world for healing after abortion, pastoral director of the Silent No More campaign, where we have women, moms, dads, even abortionists who have repented of their sins of taking life with their own hands, speaking out, giving testimony to the mercy of God. We're ministering that mercy every day. I've been privileged to minister the mercy of God to people who have killed thousands and even tens of thousands of children by abortion. So we know how infinite God's mercy is. When we turn to Him for repentance, He forgives us. The question here is, what if we don't turn to Him in repentance? Repentance means I look at what I did and I acknowledge that it was wrong and I shouldn't have done it. Lord, forgive me because I shouldn't have done what I did. It was wrong. I might have thought it was right there, or I might have, you know, made excuses for myself. But I renounce it now. Unless there's that repentance, unless there's that renunciation, then it's presumptuous of us to bargain on forgiveness. I mean, forgiveness based on what? Repentance leads us to forgiveness. And there's where the sin against the Holy Spirit comes in. It's not that God's mercy is limited. It isn't. It's not that God doesn't want to forgive us. The sin against the Holy Spirit makes us so hardened against God that we don't want Him to forgive us. That's what this is talking about. That's how the church has understood this sin. We don't even want the forgiveness anymore. That's a sad situation, isn't it? We don't want the forgiveness. We don't want to look at our sin and say, oh, that was bad. Sinning against the Holy Spirit means, yeah, you know, I hear you. I hear you telling me it's bad. I know the commandments. I know the gospel. I know the teaching of the church. Yeah, it's bad. It's wrong. But I don't think it's wrong. I'm going to continue holding on to it like something that's good. I'm going to continue acknowledging it as something that's right. I'm not going to renounce it. I'm going to embrace it. And I'm going to keep embracing it. I don't want to turn away from the sin. This is what we're talking about here. Big, big difference between, Lord, please forgive me, and the Lord saying no. That doesn't happen. When we really repent, listen, He wants to forgive us more than we want to be forgiven. It's not that He gets tired of forgiving us. It's that we get tired of asking Him for forgiveness, and we get tired of being serious about renouncing the sin. The dynamic of mercy and forgiveness does not blur the distinction between sin and evil, between good and bad, between truth and false. It doesn't blur that distinction. The dynamic of mercy and forgiveness precisely rescues us from the sin, brings us into the light, out of the darkness, brings us into grace, out of sin, brings us into life, out of death. It doesn't erase the distinction between the two. In the minds of some, it does. People who are really confused, even some teachers of the faith, have really got it messed up here, where they blur the line. They say, oh, don't worry about the difference between good and evil. Or, oh, you can, you know, if you think it's okay, it's okay. No, it's not. Sin against the Holy Spirit has different dimensions to it. Let's look at some of them. It may be born of or manifest itself in despair. I no longer seek forgiveness. I no longer repent of my sin, because I no longer believe God can forgive me. And so an attitude of despair can lead us into this sin where we say, oh, no, I'm not going to bother. Let me enjoy my sin. I'm going to hell anyway. And that in itself is a terrible sin that leaves us trapped in that unrepentant spirit. The other thing, it's kind of the other side of the coin, the other thing that can leave us in that unrepentant spirit is if we presume on our salvation. Hey, listen, nothing can go wrong. It's like somebody driving a car saying, I can never get into an accident, and then they do all kinds of reckless things. some people spiritually think there's no possible way for them to be sent to eternal damnation. And so again, they don't repent of their sin. I don't need to turn away from this sin. I'm going to heaven anyway. Nothing's going to go wrong. There's that. And then there's just plain stubbornness. I don't want to separate myself from my sin, so I'm going to continue in it. And then, of course, there's a failure to repent because of a failure to accept the fact that the sin you're committing is indeed a sin. That leads to a lack of repentance. If I stubbornly refuse to accept the truth that this is wrong, we see this with a lot of self-styled Catholics who say that abortion is okay. They're in political life. They pass themselves off not only as Catholics, but as devout Catholics, practicing Catholics. And their hands are full of blood. Because they keep making this Holocaust possible through laws and public policies and so forth. If you're not repenting, sometimes the reason is you refuse to accept that what you're doing or what you're failing to do is wrong. And when it comes to this area, it's not just an idea that, oh, yes, it's wrong, and the child is a child. It's a matter of accepting the duty to protect that child. It's not some kind of theoretical assertion about when life begins or that abortion is wrong. We're not talking theory here. We're talking about a person's responsibility to do something to protect that child. And if they don't realize that a failure to protect a child is wrong, they are failing to repent of that sin. And then there's also a dimension of this, which is envy of the grace that God gives to someone else. We never want to be sad at the good that others have. Let's pray for deliverance from that particular kind of spiritual trap, that particular kind of sin. No, Lord, I want to rejoice. Because I rejoice in you, the source of all good, the source of all grace, I want to rejoice when you give that grace to anybody, me or anyone else. When you give your gifts to anybody, that's a cause of joy. For we all belong to the one body, and the good of one and it means the joy of all, just as the misfortune of anyone should be shared as sorrow by all. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to reject him. We don't want to reject the grace of the Lord. We want to embrace that grace, that forgiveness, that repentance. And the spirit of St. Ignatius of Antioch, who embraced it so fully that he willingly, even joyfully, went to martyrdom. St. Ignatius, pray for us today that, as this gospel says, we may so boldly acknowledge Christ before the world that when he comes in his glory and accompanied by all the holy angels, he may see us. He may recognize us as people who bore witness to him, no matter what the cost. And he may indeed acknowledge us before the angels and his heavenly Father. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.